Jesus is coming to the end of his earthly ministry, and it's time to take a time out, if you will, with the disciples. He needs to be alone with them because Jesus has some things to communicate to them as he keeps heading towards Jerusalem. Okay, the end. Now, he wants to ensure they understand who he truly is. He wants them to know what it will take to keep going as his followers. And he needs to remind them of the prize that lies ahead. So last week, we discussed how to be an effective disciple. This week, and likely next week, we're going to see more of what it means to follow Jesus. That to be a disciple means a cross now for a crown later. A cross now for a crown later. Let's pray one more time. Father, remove any distractions in our hearts and minds now. Speak to us through your holy word. You have something to say to all of us here that are yours, and even those that do not belong to you, that you might convict them of their sin and bring them to the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18, so while he's praying, they're alone. In the huddle, if you will, okay, the timeout. And Jesus asks his disciples, who do the crowds say that I am? Okay, and there was a mix of answers. It said John the Baptist, Elijah, okay, or a prophet of old. Right, there's no doubt Jesus is someone unique. He was able to heal, we've seen that, right? Cast out demons, raise people from the dead, miraculously feed people, as we just saw, right? Opinions are mixed, but clearly Jesus is someone special. Even Herod, back in verses 7 to 9 of chapter 9, was trying to figure it out. Who is this guy? He'd heard what the crowds are saying, and he too saw these miracles were supernatural. Now, the disciples have seen everything Jesus has done and more, okay? They had front row seats to watch Jesus, and they were just sent out and empowered by him to do works in his name. And so Jesus asks the ultimate question to his disciples, based on all you've seen and all you've done, verse 20, but who do you say that I am? The you is emphatic in the Greek. He wants to know, who do you, my handpicked disciples, say I am? I think it's worth stopping here because it's such an important question, isn't it? Not just for the disciples, but for all of us. Because the answer to that question means heaven or hell. The answer to that question affects your eternal destiny. Is he just a prophet, as some of the crowds thought? Is he just a man, a good teacher, with good morals and great teaching, as many in the world think today, right? Listen, we're 9 chapters now into Luke. We've read about his miraculous birth, his fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament. We've read of his genealogy. We've read of his miracles of healing, his power over demons and death. We've seen his powerful preaching, his ability to command creation, and it obeys. So the question Jesus asks his disciples is like their final exam. Many of you students are about to take final exams, or you just did? Yeah? All the knowledge you've learned in class over the past term, and now you show that knowledge by taking a test, right? Well, the disciples have had 2.5 years of study under Jesus to take this exam. I've showed you, I've taught you, I've empowered you. Who do you say I am? And Peter, the spokesman for the disciples, responds, "You are the Christ of God." Amen? That means, Christ means Messiah. You are the anointed one. Jesus is the one predicted in the Old Testament that would come and save his people from their sins and rule as king forever. This is the guy. You see, when you open up Scripture and you read, as we have, all that Jesus has said and done, you cannot escape the truth of who Jesus is, right? You can't. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is King. Jesus is God. Amen? That's what we see. Without the Bible, most people's perception of who Jesus isn't a real one. It's their own opinion based on maybe what they heard on Google or their friends or maybe a really small interaction at a church. But see, through the Scriptures and through the Spirit of God who reveals it to us, we see the truth. Who do you say that Jesus is? Your eternal destiny hinges on that question if you haven't answered that yet. Who do you say Jesus is? Now, thankfully, the apostles got it. Now, they didn't understand fully everything that would come yet. We'll see that. But their profession here is important. Now that they've confirmed that he's the Messiah, Jesus is going to give them some startling news. He's going to tell them what lies ahead for himself and his followers. The coach is going to tell them what's to come, okay? Look at verse 21 and 22. And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." This is the first time Jesus reveals to his disciples that he's going to suffer, die, and be raised. And that's his main mission. Part of the reason Jesus strictly commands him to tell this to no one is that he has to go and fulfill his purpose. If people get wind that he actually is the Messiah, they might try to make him king, force him to be king then. Because that's what they're expecting in their Messiah. The one that would come would rule then. But he came this time to suffer, die, and be raised. Now, after he speaks these hard truths to the disciples, he says something else quite shocking to all that were there. Look at verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Jesus will suffer and die. And those who follow Jesus have the same calling. To be a disciple is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Do you see that connection? The disciples' confession that Jesus is the Messiah is followed immediately by the teaching that that means a cross for him and for them. That following Jesus comes with great cost, self-denial and self-sacrifice. A cross. Now, this is the first time the cross is mentioned. The disciples had probably seen a man take up a cross. They knew what it meant. When someone takes up a cross, it's a one-way journey with no return, right? The cross was an instrument of torture. It was a place where criminals hung. To someone in the first century, the cross was not a pleasant sight. But the cross, church, is the means by which our Savior would die. The cross is where the blood of the perfect, spotless Lamb would be slain. The cross was necessary to accomplish our salvation. He died the death we deserve for sin. He paid the penalty. The cross is the symbol of our redemption. It is a glorious sight for the believer. Amen. And today we do see that symbol hanging off necks and ears, tattooed on bodies. But I wonder, how many people wearing a cross even understand its meaning? How many wear a cross but aren't carrying their cross? You see, a true disciple, a follower of Jesus, understands the cross of Christ and willingly takes up their cross to follow him. We must daily die to ourselves. Listen to the Apostle Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do you hear this? But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Amen? And here in Luke, from the mouth of our Savior, he says, if anyone would come after me, meaning if you're truly going to follow me, if you are my disciple, if you understand that I am indeed the Messiah, this is what it looks like, a cross. The entrance fee to salvation, as one guy said, is free. The entrance is free. But the daily subscription is your life. It's your cross. We take a moment to examine our lives. Where is our daily carrying of the cross? Where is our self-denial? Because if we are indeed a follower of Jesus, we need to stop just wearing a cross and start picking it up, church. I mean, Jesus goes on to say in verse 24, whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It's a paradox, isn't it? We lose our life to gain it. We have to die to ourselves to live. Do you see? It's a recognition that we, in our sin, in ourselves, must die. That nothing in us is good or righteous in God's sight. And we have to lay it all down in order to live our new lives in Jesus Christ. Lay it down. And listen, if this isn't hard enough, Jesus continues. Verse 25. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits himself? He gives us an example of self-denial. It goes right along with daily bearing our cross. If we pursue the riches of the world and try to satisfy ourselves, right, when it's about me, my wants, we forfeit our soul. But when we reject the riches of the world, deny ourselves, we gain the riches of heaven. We could have everything the world has to offer. It's riches, it's pleasures, it's power. Could have it all. Just imagine you have it all. Then you'll go to hell without Jesus Christ. I don't know what you think or thought following Jesus meant when you first encountered him. And I don't know if you thought your life would be easier or harder by following Jesus. But no matter what your life is like right now, we need to come to grips with the reality that being a follower of Jesus means self-denial. It means taking up our cross now, daily, for the crown later. You might think this self-denial bit and this death, this daily death, was maybe just when you first came to Christ, right? That first sacrifice to follow him. But do you notice what it says there? Daily. It is a daily battle with your flesh and your sin, is it not? I know it is for me. It's a daily battle with our selfishness and our pride. So we daily need to die. And when we deny ourselves and we put Christ first, we align ourselves with God's will and his ways instead of our own. That's where he wants us. What does that look like, though? You might be thinking, great, die to ourselves. What does that look like practically in our lives? It might be somebody says something hurtful, or you're insulted, or maybe you're an outcast to your friends and your family, but your heart is still happy to suffer as Christ suffered. That's dying to self. When you don't refer to yourself or your accomplishments or seek recognition or the praise of man, you're just content to be a servant for Christ, expecting nothing in return because you love Jesus. Die to yourself. When you're content with any food, any clothing, any climate, any circumstance that God brings about, rather than seeking the comforts and the riches of the world, you die to yourself. We put aside our personal needs, our personal desires, personal goals for the benefit of others and the purposes of God, we die to ourselves. It means, listen, it means I will suffer and endure all consequences of what it means to follow Jesus right where he has me, even if it means death. It's heavy, isn't it? We hear these things, and I think sometimes we can distance ourselves from these hard truths, right? Like, I mean, it says that, but that's not really for me. I don't really have to deny myself, right? That's what we tell ourselves. But this is the cost of discipleship, my friends. There are a lot of things in the Bible from the mouth of Jesus that are hard, but we can't be ashamed of them. He warns us there in verse 26. If you're ashamed of his words and these truths, when he returns in glory, he'll be ashamed of you. Listen, I got to be honest. This section was so convicting to me this week. I often fall into the trap of feeling like I've sacrificed enough and that all my wants and needs balance out what I've given up. And sometimes I think, for example, like leaving America and all that it meant for me and my family, it was a great sacrifice of self-denial, I tell myself, to follow Jesus. But that event was one day in many days of my life. It was one day. Is that attitude present in me today as his follower? Am I daily taking up my cross to follow Jesus? You might feel like you've sacrificed a lot to follow him. And some of you have. But to be a true follower of Jesus, that self-sacrificial attitude is an everyday decision. Die to myself, die for Jesus every day. Now, if we picture Jesus again as our coach, our manager, you might feel like he just sucked the air right out of the room, right? It's heavy. This is what the rest of the game is going to look like, daily self-sacrifice. Well, about a week after these tough sayings, verse 28, Jesus takes Peter, John, James up on the mountain to pray. And they pray, and something amazing and unexpected happens. Jesus reveals a glimpse of his glory and the kingdom to come. It says in verse 29, the appearance of his face was altered. His clothing became dazzling white. In Matthew's gospel, it says his face shone like the sun. And two men appear, Moses and Elijah, right? Two heavy hitters from the Old Testament pointing forward to Jesus. They're chatting about his departure, his death to come. The disciples awake. Peter wants to build them tents, right? And he's like, doesn't really know what he's saying. He probably thought this is happening, right? Jesus is going to rule right now. It's happening. All that cross and death talk, he's not thinking about that right now. Cloud comes, overshadows them. God speaks. This is my chosen one, my son. Listen to him. Now, why did this event happen? Why did Jesus give them a glimpse of his glory and the kingdom to come? I think there's two reasons. First, I think it's to prove once again, he's the guy, he's the Messiah, right? That their profession was true. Jesus is Christ. But secondly, it was to encourage the disciples because of what lies ahead. Remember, he just told them a few days ago he's going to die and that the cost of following him was to daily die to themselves. I'm sure they were wrestling with that information, and we're going to see they'll continue to wrestle with that information. And so what encouragement can Jesus give? What can our coach do to give them a push towards the finish line? A glimpse of heaven. You see? A glimpse of the kingdom to come, a glimpse of the glory of Savior, so that they might endure. Is that not the same reminder we need, church? When we willingly choose to die to ourselves and follow Jesus, why do we do that? Because of what comes in the future. What lies ahead? Because in Christ, we have eternal life. In Christ, he has broken the bonds of sin and death, and we will reign with him in the kingdom to come. Amen? That's a great hope, isn't it? It's what we need reminded of when things get hard. The Christian life isn't easy. Yes, it's blessed. It's wonderful. It's full of purpose and grace and love and peace that the world does not know. It is all those things. But still doesn't mean it's easy. In many ways, it's harder. But see, it's when we remember the crown to come, it helps us to bear the cross today. Do you see? Helps us to keep following Jesus. And see, the amazing reality of being his disciples, his followers, is that we get to live in his presence every day as we wait for that final fulfillment. We have the Spirit of God in us, with us. We have Christ. We have his word to us. We have his promises made more sure so we can live in that victory every single day. So he gives us life and hope and joy. We have him now and for eternity. Now, the disciples won't understand it fully until after the resurrection, right? When Jesus rises and appears to them, they got it, didn't they? Then they live daily bearing their cross for Jesus in the face of suffering and persecution. The majority of the apostles were killed, weren't they? Martyred for their faith. They willingly laid down their life because they knew the crown of life was ahead of them. That's the same confidence that we can have as his disciples. Do you see? The same confidence. On October 28, 1949, a guy named Jim Elliot wrote this in his journal. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He wrote that a year before he and his wife and four other people went as missionaries to an unreached tribe in a remote jungle in Ecuador, only to be killed for sharing Christ. Why do I bring that up? Well, here's a guy, a follower of Jesus, who got it. Willingly denied himself and the world. Why? Because of the promise of the crown to come. I'll end with the words of this old hymn from 1825. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shall be. Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought or hoped or known. Yet how rich is my condition. God and heaven are still my own. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Acknowledge he's the Messiah who lived, died, and rose again, daily taking up our cross. In confidence, we receive the eternal reward. Cross now, but a crown later. Amen.